The Mountain Gardener is paid for by Waters Garden Center and is solely responsible for its content.
Welcome to The Mountain Gardener with your host, Ken Lane. Gardening can be challenging, but with Ken's tips, tricks, and local advice, you'll reap huge rewards. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Mountain Gardener. Your host, Ken Lane, here every week talking about the landscapes of northern Arizona. Oh, yet the weather finally turned. So the mountain folks, it's spring here finally. The desert folks have been, they haven't been coming up the hill because it's so pleasant down in the valleys, the deserts, the Tucson's, Phoenix, Scottsdale's. They've been staying down there. That changed this week. Now it's our turn. It's beautiful. It's why we live up here. And so it'll be this way for the rest of, well, the season till next autumn. We notice the plants. So we've been getting in, we've been stocking. I've got 2 acres of plants. There's acres of plants. And when it's cold out, when there's snow and there's frost, mainly we're focused on evergreens. So lots of evergreens. There's some evergreens that bloom early, like Raphaelyptus, rhododendrons, and azaleas. And we like those. And we've got plenty of those. The peonies are growing fast. I mean, they're just almost about to bloom. It's amazing. But now, when the weather finally turns nice, we'll get trucks in. So we unloaded maybe 2-3 semi-loads of plants this week. And everything coming off the truck is in full color. It is so exciting. It's like Christmas for gardeners. Insider tip, at least here at Waters Garden Center. So this is in Prescott. So if you want the freshest flowers, vegetables, herbs, that truck comes in Wednesday afternoon. So if you want to pick, now they're not organized. So it takes us a day to get them all segmented out, and all the tomatoes here, all the peppers here, all the flowers here, all the herbs over there. But if you want to just peruse and just kind of take a look at or just see what's there, it's kind of exciting to see all these plants on racks of just literally hundreds of plants, dozens and dozens of racks of flowers. And it's just fun to peruse them. So some of the insider folks, they know, oh, I'm going to go on Wednesday. I'm not waiting till the weekend because they're picked over. I want first dibs. They come in. Trees and shrubs typically show up either Thursday or Friday afternoon, or actually there's several trucks, but they show up Thursdays and Fridays. So you can see shrubs like lilacs, forsythian, roses, and all these others. They come in then. So it's the back half of the week is restocked every week at the garden center so that we're making ready for the weekend. So sales, everyone has Saturday off, most folks, not everyone, most. And so you'll see there's twice the volume on a Saturday. What's interesting, this is unique to retirement town, which is Prescott, or this region, is Monday through Sunday. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day but Saturday, the sales, it's the same. The same customer count, the same sales growth, the same. But then Saturday hits, it's like, oink, it just kind of goes off the charts. So we always gear up for the Saturday. But the insider tip is come Friday afternoon because you want to beat everyone else. The entire community is coming in on Saturday. You want to get your garden centers Friday, get you that insider tip. Another thing is happening. There's two things, and I'm noticing that customers are starting to comment. Things like their native plants, crepe myrtles. They're not leafing out. What's going on? Is it dead? Smoke bush. These things that like the summer, they don't like spring. They want the nighttime temperatures to be in the 70s, not in the 40s and 30s. And so they're waiting. Grapes, they're waiting. So if the things aren't quite waking up yet, give them another 2-3 weeks. They will. If ever you want to test that, you take your thumbnail, you scrape the bark off, and if the wood underneath the bark is green, that plant, or at least that branch, is very much alive. If it's white or brown, okay, that branch is dead. You can prune it off. So will it come back from the roots? Yeah, very possibly. But it's a quick, easy way going, huh, I wonder if I'm impatient or is this crepe myrtle really alive? Just thumbnail, scrape it off. It's green underneath. You are good to go. It's just waiting for the nighttime temperatures to be warm enough. I did notice that a lot of my native plants are starting to leaf out now. So the most famous, well, I guess there's several famous ones. The one that I guess is most famous in the country, and it is a top seller here, would be Arizona cypress. It's a big evergreen. It sort of looks like a juniper, but it's not. So it doesn't form a berry. It forms a pine cone. So it's different, about the size of a golf ball, but it has that same shape as a alligator juniper or a shaggy bark juniper. Big, you know, 20 foot tall, 12 foot wide, nice round shape. We use them to block the wind and block neighbors, block a barn, block. We use them to block. They're great, fast growing. They haven't quite taken off yet. The most famous, or one of my favorites, I guess, my favorite native shrub is Ellie Agnes. If you just think two names, Ellie and Agnes, put them together, Ellie Agnes, or common name, Silverberry. That is a plant that is starting to actively grow right now. This is an evergreen shrub. Mine is easily above my head, and as far as your arm length can go out, it's big, great evergreen shrub. So I'm using it to soften up 6 foot cedar fence. So it just brightens that area. But I want a native. I want it to get it established. And then I don't want to care for that thing anymore. That's what Silverberry can do for you. I think it's by far a better choice than red-tipped Photinia, which is the number one seller for big evergreen shrubs. But, you know, evergreen red-tipped Photinia, deer eat on it. It gets mildew. Rabbits come after it. I mean, man, if there's 10 things in the neighborhood it can get, it'll get 11. It's fast growing, so it grows out of it pretty quick, but we're probably going to make some money off of you at the garden center, because you're going to be in going, hey, how do I keep the mildew off? Well, what do I have to do to keep the deer off? How do I, it's turning yellow in the winter. Why? Because it's not a fertilizer. It's just a high care plant. Ellie Agnes. Low care. Plant it once, get it rooted. That's all you. Actually, I put mine on a drip system. I fertilize it like crazy until it's up to the size I want. And then I cut it off the irrigation, and then it's on its own. I just let her go. That's all the care I have. It's so easy. And they're actively growing right now. Now, the Ellie Agnes is native. It's got kind of a blue and gray look to it, or blue gray. It's got a native-y Arizona look. It's, look, I'm from Arizona. You can tell. They make another one called, it's got a silver highlight to it. It's the same blue foliage, but it has gold on it. So now if you've got a real dark rock, you know, like those mocha and the chocolate colored rocks are popular right now. Well, those can be hot. They radiate heat like crazy. Well, a native, they're going to love that. It's perfectly fine with that. Go for it. And the light color is striking against that dark, that gold against the dark mochas. Looks really, really sharp. The other one that looks good with that is Manzanita. And we specialize in Manzanita here. So you're seeing a native plant out there as you walk the forest, about head high. And then it's been in bloom. It's got a little bell-shaped flower. The bees like it because it's a pollinator early on. That plant is amazing. The secret is don't put it on your drip system. Just plant it and water by hand when you remember to water it. And it'll live. So we've got four sizes. The standard one, the one that grows native, that gets too big so many places. We've got another one that's kind of chest high, then hip high, and then ankle high, called Kinnick. Or what's the other name? Bearberry is another common name for that. It's same Manzanita, but it only gets about ankle high and just spreads. Great. Just same red bark, same evergreen, same flower. Great native. The other one that I think more Californians should look at. So we don't grow a lot of cactus. See, everyone moves here from Midwest. Okay? I want cactus. I want to look like Phoenix. Well, there's not many choices up here. But we have tremendous choices when it comes to yuccas and agaves. We have more choices than anywhere else in the country. So some native ones. So artichoke agave is probably the number one seller as far as – that's called century plant, or, you know, once every 100 years it's supposed to bloom. It's actually much sooner than that. Out in the wild, maybe, but in your yard, once every 20 years, it's going to bloom, have that magical flower. And then yuccas, there's red yuccas, probably number one seller, but we have three sizes. We've got giant red yucca, gets as big as you and I, with these big old flowers, gets the standard yucca, gets about hip high. Then we've got a dwarf or brake light yuccas. It's dwarfy. We use it often in raised beds, containers, that kind of stuff, but the same red flower. And the flowers look like brake lights, thus the name brake light yucca. Oh, we got so much in store for you this show. And don't go anywhere. We got to pay some bills with some advertisements. Be right back after this.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him every week for timely garden advice right for the gardens. Visit Ken where he can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, columbine, purple plum, and our Prescott poppies.
These silk beauties look delicate, but really one of the toughest bloomers in the gardens.
These wildflowers come in vivid colors of orange, red, pink, and white that are ideal for the hard-to-grow areas in your yard.
You're going to love your backyard again.
Prescott poppies can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe bees and monarchs are in danger, and we can save them at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. Green thumbs learned while working in the Family Garden Center. Now welcome back to the Mountain Gardener.
We are back with Lisa Waters Lane. She comes each week with your garden questions. Just what are your neighbors? What are your friends talking about? Because there's something to be gleaned from that, and we can share that with the other listeners that have tuned in. So, Lisa, welcome to the studio.
Thank
Glad you're
you.
Here.
Yes. Been busy. Busy, busy, busy.
I was sharing with folks the segment before this. Everything that was coming in like a month, month and a half ago was just evergreens. Now everything that comes off is ever bloom. It just blooms everywhere. Just the fragrance of the gardens is amazing.
We have a lot of stuff in. We've done three trucks within the past 2 days.
I don't know how you and the team do it.
Maybe four.
I get worn out just watching you work so hard. No, just kidding. I jump in there and help too. Sometimes we have these new shade structures out over the garden center. So we filled in. It's a 2 acre property more, but in between the two, the lower greenhouse, the big greenhouse, it's a big acreage. We just put it all under shade. So it changed it feels like you're going to the circus or something, or like under a canopy. It's just beautiful. It's red and blue. Mm-hmm. Changes the light. We've got to figure out how to use it all, but it takes the edge off. So it's more pleasant.
Definitely.
Out there, you're not baking under the sun all the time. So
it used to get pretty toasty.
Yeah, you have to water things twice a day. Yeah. The crew had to work so hard in the heat. Now it's just easy.
Yes,
it's easy to work here at Waters Gardens. Except for three trucks. We're basically dirt dealers, really.
I'm like, have you seen my nails? I don't think so.
So what kind of questions are people asking or
commenting
on?
Oh, lots of stuff going out there. So Jake would like to know, is it possible to transplant manzanita? He's got some in his yard, wants to know if he can move it. Need more coffee.
Yeah, I know.
He also has the same question about pinyon pines, small pinions.
Yeah. Boy, Jake, I got to tell you, I've tried this so many times. It's probably not worth it. Maybe 1 in 10 will actually succeed. So your success rate's very small. Those two natives are really rough. I mean, cactus, really easy to transplant. But pinyon pines and I don't know about manzanita. Every one of those have died. Even the pups underneath the mother plant, you dig them up, you try to get as much root. Maybe if you had a backhoe and you had this humongous box for this little tiny plant, but they put on these runners that run across the yard, and you can never get enough of that taproot, and so you sever it, and within pinyon pines, it's a slow, slow death. It's painful to watch as a gardener. It'll take 18 months. You're trying to get it to work. It's probably Jake, save yourself some headache. We grow manzanita here. We figured it out. They're fully rooted. They live to the plant. it's probably worth paying a couple extra bucks and doing that. We've got four sizes. You got head high, the native one, kind of chest high, hip high, and ground cover, kinnikinick. And then pinyon pines, we've got the better one. We've got a single leaf pinyon pine. That's the one they get the nuts from. Plant that one, and it doesn't get the scale and have all the issues. So I would encourage to discourage you. Don't beat your head against that bark, against that. It's just not worth the energy.
I would agree. All right. Our next question is from Carol.
Hey, Carol.
She saw some gardenias here at the store. She wants to know how well they do in the winter here. And then also what kind of light conditions, sun, shade, mix, what are we looking at?
Well, first of all, Carol, thanks for coming to the garden center. Glad you saw them. So we carry two varieties here. This is more for my southern folks from that more humid climates where you grow gardenias just naturally. They're almost like a weed. There's a lot of varieties of gardenia. Not all of them are the same, and most are more tropical than here. There's only two that are hardy enough to go through the winter up here. One's got a double flower. It's about the size of a silver dollar or so. One's got a star gardenia. has a five-petal white flower. Both have intense fragrance. They're evergreen bushes. They don't get as big here. So you folks from the, you know, the warmer climates, you're used to gardenias can be as big as you are. Well, they're not going to be that big here. They're going to be smaller, let's say knee high. Maybe if you had them for years and years, maybe they could get bigger than that. But generally, they look really good in containers. They fill in. They're nice and evergreen. They don't take any real care as far as pruning. Fertilize them with flower power once or twice a month, and away you're going to bloom starting May and not stop until wherever. And evergreen, the sun piece, Carol. They like the sun, but they don't like the middle of the day sun in June. So we've grown several in containers. We've got two or three of them, but all varieties, because we like entertaining on our patio. So there's nothing like a gardenia that's blooming right next to you as you're sipping tea, watching the sunset, the hummingbirds fly through the yard. It's magical. And so we use them that way. And in containers, it brings that gardenia smell up where you can enjoy it more. So it's up where you can just smell the fragrance, the aroma. And so that's where we grow them. We find they grow really well on the east side. So they get the morning sun, afternoon shade. We grow some on the west side. They get shade till about one or two, and then they get sun. I would grow them on the north side. They're beautiful. The north side of our two-story house. That south side, they just don't bloom. I know the tag says it will grow there, but it doesn't bloom very long. They get brown leaves. It's just not worth the energy. Some protection that middle of the day. So that's why they do great underneath that back patio, the back deck that's covered, the entrance to your house. Having a gardenia there, it's got that cover to it. They welcome every guest. The Amazon delivery guy will just thank you every time. He'll remember your house, going, yeah, can make sure the Joneses get that package. Their house smells good. So anyway,
okay.
Too far?
Maybe. Just a hair. All right. Our next question is from Anne. She has a KV plum or ornamental plum. Says every year it gets holes in the leaves.
Yeah.
She wants to know, she's not seeing any insects out there.
Yeah.
So what is it caused by and how do you treat it?
Yeah, so they call it shot hole because it looks like someone stepped back with a shotgun and shot holes through the leaves. It looks like that, little tiny holes through all the leaves. It really affects a plum. It really likes plum trees or pitted fruits, but ornamental plum. They love that purple leaf plum the most. When they're real young, you'll see these holes written. It's so small, you see them. As they get more mature, bigger, they're still there. You just don't notice them as much. It doesn't really kill the plant. It's actually a bacteria eating the sugars inside the leaf, and it just nibbles out a little hole. That's the name, shot hole. So what to do? There's a spray. There's actually an amazing organic spray. It's called Fungicide 5.
Got it.
Right? There we go. Fungicide 5. All organic. It's not going to hurt your birds, not going to hurt your husband, not going to hurt your pets, the birds. It's safe. All organic. Spray that, and it will take out shot hole. Now, when to spray it. This kind of stuff affects plants when it gets in there when they're young. So birds peck around in the leaf litter down below. They fly up on this new foliage, and then it just spreads from there. So it spreads from their feet. Or bugs come eat on one plant that's affected, come and eat on yours. If you put the fungicide 5 on as they leaf out. So this has been the pink tree that's been in bloom for about a month. It's now starting to transition. Now it's half blooms and half purple foliage. This is when you spray it. Put fungicide 5 on there, and the hole, it will greatly reduce the number of holes going through that foliage. And then as they mature, it just becomes cleaner. It's just a cleaner tree. Next fall, make sure you clean up all of those leaves that fell down, because that's how it comes back year after year. So the birds, all that leaf litter will be there. The worms are attracted to it. The birds are attracted to the worms, and they peck around there, and they get on the new foliage next spring, and it just perpetuates itself. So fungicide 5 is your magic.
It's a great fungicide.
It's an amazing new chemistry, new science coming out. It's greatly effective. That we are out of time, Lisa. We've got to cut it short here. So, Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back after this.
You're listening to Ken Lane, a.k.a. the Mountain Gardener. Ken can be found throughout the week in Prescott at Waters Garden Center. Listen each week as he answers timely garden questions unique to mountain gardens. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, poppy, columbine, and our purple twist plum.
This Arizona plum is the ideal purple tree between evergreens.
Blooms in a profusion of pink flowers that precede the deep purple foliage.
Large enough to use as a front yard tree and behaved enough to use as a street tree.
Plant pairs flanking gateways, driveways, or an orchard-like rose to screen neighbors.
Purple Twist Plum can only be found at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Hi, this is Barry. Join me for lunch every Saturday at 12 o'clock for the Prescott Palette. That's every Saturday at 12 o'clock on KQ&A, 1130 AM, 95.5 FM, 99.9 FM, and KQNA.com, as well as the mobile app.
We believe no one is a failure who has friends at Waters Garden Center.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Join the conversation every week as he answers timely garden questions. Email Ken a question directly from your phone to his desktop through the web at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Now welcome back your host, Ken Lane.
So I started out the show mentioning that things are waking up. Deliveries are all coming in full glorious bloom. The roses are over the top. Oh my gosh. It smells so good. You walk in the upper greenhouse and it's almost overwhelming. Butterflies are coming out. It's beautiful. And the natives are starting to grow. One native that's a little slower, but I think is underestimated, not appreciated nationally, but it's coming online very quickly. I mean, globally. And it's grown right here. It's called an Arizona desert willow. And you'll see these growing just wild from Prescott going out over to Skull Valley, Baghdad, Hillside, all those taller deciduous trees or really large shrubs. Those are desert willows. Going out to Dewey down that 69 corridor, up over the hill to Jerome, down through the Verde, Cottonwood, Camp Verde, all the way to Sedona. Those tall deciduous trees up to about 20 feet. Most of the time, they're multi-trunked. They're like a great big bush. Or sometimes they're trained to be an actual tree with a crown at the top. Those are desert willows. And so there's a couple varieties coming online. This is kind of exciting technology. The number one breeder of desert willows lives in Tucson. He's a friend of mine. He and his family run a garden center and a growing operation down there. And they're big into Arizona plants, and they're breeding these things. Here's the difference. So 10 years ago, We were selling desert willows, the native one that you see growing on the side of the road. And they're beautiful pink. They've got willow-shaped leaves. Animals leave them alone. Javelin don't eat them. They're drought-hardy as can be. Butterflies love them. Hummingbirds are all over them. They have everything going for them except after they're done blooming, they form a bean pod. And when they form a bean, that's they're thinking, oh, I'm going to stop blooming. I've pollinated. I'm all set. I'm pregnant now. I'm just going to give birth to more desert willows out there. More beans. Focus on the beans. And they just throw off beans. They're trying to get more of them. So you'll see groves of desert willows in the wild. This is how they do it. Well, the new breeding, what they're trying to do, what they've succeeded. So if you see the name, if you're at the nursery and it says desert willow, that's it. That's going to be our native one that grows wild. If they give it another name, so timeless beauty desert willow, Bubba May, or some other name in front, desert willow, those are exclusive new introductions. They're the ones you'll want. Because what they've done is they bred out so they don't form the bean. So now the plant, when it gets done blooming, sheds a flower and it goes, oh, well, I didn't set any beans here. What's going on? I should probably bloom again. So this is pulsating waves of color, of flowers, so that keeps going from the end of May through autumn. It's just an amazing flower. It's got a kind of an orchid-shaped flower, kind of a deep throat flower to it, about the size of, I don't know, 1.5, 2 inches long. And hummingbirds, that's why hummingbirds love it. It's a deep throat flower. It's with lots of nectar. They're all over that thing, from monarchs to painted ladies to swallowtails. All the butterflies love them. All the hummingbirds use it as a migration source going up and down, north and south. So they are all the pollinator things, animals out there, they love desert willow. But if I were planting one in my yard, again, plant it. Treat it with care, get it rooted out, get it up to size, and then you never have to water it again. It takes almost no pruning, just keeps its shape. It just easily keeps its shape. No care, it's just a great little plant for you. It'll take full sun, I would say, at least, I don't know, 6 hours? I'd go six or more. More sun equals more flowers. Excuse me, let me take a quick sip of coffee. You know, I was out working in Chino Valley. The wind was ferocious out there earlier in the week. And I came the next day, my sinuses are just clogged up. I mean, something is out there blowing right at me as I'm killing some weeds or whatever. Going, oh my gosh, I'll wait. I'm not doing this when it's windy again. I'm going to wait spray in the morning. It'll be better. So insider tip, note to self, treat yourself better. Don't go out there when it's that windy. It's like 40-mile-an-hour winds. It's crazy. So you folks in Chino Valley, those newer properties, it's really windy. Once you plant a few trees and they start to get up, that wind stays up above the roof level and becomes much, much more pleasant. We found that our first house in Prescott Valley, this is back in the 90s. We had dirt roads back then, believe it or not. We were all of Prescott Valley was on septic systems, believe it or not. And then they moved into this era. And so they became a real city and they just boomed ever since. Very proud of them. Anyway, we were out there, brand new house, new landscape, started planting, and it just, the wind shears would hit and just, it sounded like a freight train. By the time we left several years later, the trees were growing up and you could hear the wind. You could hear this steamroller coming down. Then it would hit the top of the tree. You see the top of the tree whip around. And the wind would stay up there. Yes, it's breezy down here, but it wasn't that freight train running through the yard. So the trees are amazing at changing your environment, making it cooler, more pleasant, and keeping it. And don't go anywhere. We got to pay some bills with some advertisement. Be right back after this.
The Mountain Gardener, your source for timely garden advice right for higher elevations. Guaranteed to make a difference in your yard this season. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, poppy, purple plum, and our white night candy tuft.
Masses of fragrant white flowers cover mounds of perennial green foliage.
Extreme heat and cold tolerant, this award winner repeatedly blooms without deadheading for super easy care.
Butterflies, bees, hummingbirds are going to love your backyard again.
White Knight Candy Tuff can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
You're listening to The Mountain Gardener with local expert Ken Lane. Mountain gardening is very rewarding, with a few of Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts sure to turn your thumbs even greener. Now welcome back to The Mountain Gardener.
We are back with Lisa Watersling in the studio. She comes each week and just shares her garden knowledge. She grew up in the family business, garden centers, landscapes, pet shops, feed stores. So back in the day, when was that? 1972.
Yeah, well,
way back then?
It would have been late 60s.
Late 60s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're just a young thing. You look good, this old man. Anyway, we've been married for 37 years, coming up in July. Mm-hmm. And we've got four kids. And so, and I found out over the years, Lisa is an amazing gardener. And so we just have her come in and share her garden knowledge. So what do you got for us today, Lisa? Welcome to the studio.
So thank you. So we have been busy unloading many trucks.
It is
so
spring.
If you haven't been in lately, you need to come back in.
It's a whole new,
because
a whole new story.
We're trying to find places to cram plants at this point. So we've gotten a lot of beautiful perennials in, some great shrub roses in, lots of nice shrubs, just a lot of everything.
And they're all in bloom. It's amazing. Yeah. The trucks, you open up the doors, you know, a month and a half ago, they were green, evergreens, lots of green, or twigs.
You know, twigs.
Lilacs are pretty once they start blooming, but they're kind of twigs in a bucket otherwise. Well, now they come out, everything's in bloom. It's just really, the butterflies follow you across the yard as you carry a cartload of flowers over there. It's kind of fun.
Sure. Yeah, so we've got a lot of herbs in, a lot of great herbs that have come in. So I wanted to talk about the lavenders, because lavenders are a great herb to have in your yard.
Yeah.
They are animal resistant. So if you have deer, bunny, javelinas, lavender, rosemaries, those herbs, they're just terrific because they don't bother them.
Yeah.
They leave them alone. Lavenders do like a nice sunny spot. You're going to want at least 6 or more hours of sun for these guys to bloom nicely, to do well, and then also well-drained soil. So most of them do really well in containers, so no problem growing in containers.
Drainage, as long as it's got a hole in the bottom.
Yeah.
The water naturally drains out, so it kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, but if you're putting them in the ground and you got that really heavy clay soil, you might want to think about that or really amend your hole, because that's very important to them. So there, when lavenders, there's a lot of different kinds of lavenders. There's English lavenders, there's French lavenders, and there's Spanish lavenders.
Arctic lavender.
An Arctic? I don't think so.
No, they're mainly a Mediterranean plant.
So the English lavenders are ones that most people think of that have that real spiky blue flower, purpley flower that comes out of there, very, very fragrant. And we carry two different kinds mainly. Sometimes we'll have more. But the Goodwin Creek is a great gray-leafed lavender. It's a taller one, almost like a shrub. So it gets 4x4. So it gets to be a good size.
Yeah.
And it sends gray foliage sends off that purple spike, very fragrant. The flowers and the foliage is very, very fragrant. The other one is the Munstead, which is more compact. It's about a 2x2, a little bit smaller, a little more compact type of shrub. But there again, sends out that real pretty purple flower on there.
It hovers real long. It's long. It's hovers. The flowers hover much taller above the foliage on English. That's how I determine which one it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we use those mainly in commercial landscapes. We're just tough places. We're surrounded by asphalt and it's just hot. Lavender loves that kind of spot. So more sun equals more flowers.
Definitely. So then we have the Spanish lavenders, and we have some really beautiful ones that came in. I'm going to show the big one first so we can try not to drop
it. It's pink. That's unusual.
This is called the Princess. So this is a Spanish lavender. So it's going to get about 20
beautiful.
By 20. Has that really nice bright green foliage with kind of a what color would you call that? It's not the blue. It's not the pink.
It's pink.
Kinda,
it's It's okay. Violet. Pink. Ooh, with a violet overtone.
I like that.
Violent overtone. It's very, very unusual for lavender. Lavender is always purple or blue. Mm-hmm. This is definitely not that. It still smells like it.
This is a beautiful 2 gallon, and we have a lot of these in there.
They're magnificent. Stunning.
Put one in a pot by the front door or someplace nice and warm. It would be excellent. So that's called The Princess.
Yeah.
And then we also have one.
This is too big for the studio. This is like Instant Plant. It weighs like 20 pounds. But look at
20.
It's bigger than my head. It's huge. It's beautiful. My gosh. Pink Princess. Mm-hmm. Or just Princess.
That one's The Princess.
The Princess.
Okay. The Princess. This one is called Ghostly Princess. They call it ghostly because it has a very silvery.
Yeah, it's white.
Almost, they called it luminescent. Oh. Is what they call it.
Well, under the moonlight. You know, you could line like walkways with that so people could see where the boundaries are. If you got late night parties or whatever, that'd be magnificent for that. And evergreens would be this color all the time.
It'd be good, kind of pretty to kind of mix them. Have a silver princess and a purple. Anyways, the flowers on this one are pink. There's lots of buds on here. It's going to be opening pretty soon.
Yeah.
But it hasn't opened yet.
The foliage itself, though, you're showing off the foliage. There's four people watching this on Spotify. There you go. Apple, you guys, you special people with cameras. Use your imagination as you're driving across town.
Just think about what it would look like. And then the last Spanish lavender.
It's got the same fragrance as the other one, the other princess.
Mm-hmm.
It smells good.
Nice foliage. So Purple Medley is another Spanish lavender. So this one has the green foliage with the purple blooms to it. Very, very pretty. And I had someone describe them as they look like little pineapples. The way the blooms look
like
on there.
Look at that. They're hovering maybe 6 inches above the foliage, like little tiny pineapples above with those like little wings on top or something. It's kind of fun. Uniquely lavender. There's nothing out there like lavender is unique in what it does.
It definitely is.
Some animals just seem to leave them alone. So we've got javelina that bother our gardens and they don't bother our lavenders. So generally we call it resistive. Mm-hmm. Rabbits resistive, deer resistive. So,
and we also have a nice selection of rosemaries. I mean, I think lavender and rosemary are great companion plants.
Oh, yeah.
Because they pretty much want the same amount of sun, same type of water, same drainage. So they're wonderful companion plants to put together.
So it's time to put these out in the yard. Mm-hmm. Like if we get a last frost, lavender, they don't care.
They'll
celebrate. They'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. So we got a second left?
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the other things that we got in is called a frost-proof gardenia.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, these are really pretty. So this one gets about 5 foot tall, maybe 4x4, we could easily call it. Has that real pretty bloom on it that gets like 2 to 3 inches wide.
Yeah.
Very, very fragrant. This one is excellent for a zone 7.
That's us.
Which is where we're at. So it's a really pretty one to try out there in your yard, also in pots. So I definitely would check those out. Is there anything I should have else talked about?
I mean, you've got a lot going
on.
Gardenias, I mean, we grow gardenias ourselves. Mm-hmm. They're an amazing plant. People don't think you can grow them here, but you can. I think they grow better than some of the other plants. And they're wonderful on a patio because that fragrance just fills up. I mean, lilacs are great. Mm-hmm. But they're good for about 6-8 weeks, and then they're out of bloom. They're just pretty plants.
Mm-hmm.
Gardenia has this wave. They're like ever blooming, kind of like roses are ever blooming. Mm-hmm. They just always set off flowers. And that frost rose is a really performer for here. So why not? Every yard should have one.
I agree.
Any last tips you want to give it? Because you had an extra. You just cut it short.
I am not used to having time. Usually I run out of time and I create all these things. I'm like, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that. And then you start counting me down. I'm like, oh my God.
Talk about the new shade structure. I mean, we got this beautiful new shade structure between the two greenhouses. It just changed the entire environment. It feels like it's all 2 acres undercover.
Mm-hmm.
It's just magnificent. It'll take the pressure off the plants, off the team. You don't have to water as often. We're hoping that customers will shop a little longer. We are out of time, Lisa. We've got to cut it short here. So, Ken and Lisa Lane, the Mountain Gardeners, be right back after this.
Look
for more tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts through Ken's website, podcast the show, read his weekly garden column, or follow him on Facebook and Instagram at watersgardencenter.com. That's Waters with two T's, gardencenter.com. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, columbine, purple plum, and our Prescott poppies.
These silk beauties look delicate, but really one of the toughest bloomers in the gardens.
These wildflowers come in vivid colors of orange, red, pink, and white that are ideal for the hard-to-grow areas in your yard.
You're going to love your backyard again.
Prescott poppies can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
I was raised in a nice house with my family. Now I'm out on my own and have my own apartment. I love my cute little place, but there's something I do miss. I miss my mom's garden in the backyard. It was so special because over the years I was growing up, I watched her give those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch and so much color. I miss it so. Well, guess what? I just visited my local garden center and they gave me some great ideas. And now, because of them, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested, teeming with flowers, bright Arizona flowers. Looking at those flowers gives me such a nice feeling, and it's almost like being with Mom in the backyard all over again.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it, too.
We believe in rising early, working hard, and the fruits of our labor at Waters Garden Center.
Welcome to the Mountain Gardener with Ken Lane. Gardening in the mountains is different. Listen to Ken's tips, tricks, and garden shortcuts guaranteed to make your gardens more beautiful than ever this year. Now for better advice that works locally, welcome your host, Ken Lane.
We are back with Mountain Gardener. The beauty of having a studio right here in the Garden Center. When you got a friend that comes in, he's doing great work in the community. You say, John, would you come in? You got to tell this. You got to tell the community about this. So John Murphy is a friend. He's our realtor. He's kind of plugged in the communities. He's kind of a man of many talents. And your passion is feeding people, helping them feed themselves.
Correct.
Is your, that's, you've been doing this for many, many years, and you've got a golf tournament coming up. So that is just exciting. We should let the community know about that. But before you start, tell us about yourself. Where'd you come from? You're into real estate and other stuff. Your wife, Lisa, you're.
Well, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
We're from the East Coast, from New Jersey. We've been here 8 years.
Okay.
And my wife owns Silver Sands Recovery, helping people with addiction issues. I'm a realtor in town, and I was the commission for well-being. I was the chair for the city of Prescott, and I'm all about health, wellness, and longevity. And you're not going to get any of those things unless you eat right.
That's right.
And so that's how I got into the whole gardening deal. My nonprofit is the Make 100 Healthy Foundation, as in make 100 years healthy.
Yeah.
And wow. Then we evolved into the Prescott Food Forest. And that has evolved into our training program, the Gardeners of Destiny training. And that's evolved into us giving lots of food to the food banks and the pantries and people that are in need. And it's just been a wonderful journey. I'm very blessed.
I love watching your Facebook posts, just all the activity. There's nothing like a bunch of gardeners in their hats and their gloves. They're picking produce, getting things ready, taking it to the kitchens, taking it to the pantries. It's just, there's an energy there and you can see it every time you guys gather. Well,
thank you. You know, we have a fellowship. You know, we're up over 500 people in our group. And last 2 weeks ago, we started our spring gardening classes on Saturdays, just like you have, up in Chino Valley at Beer Organic Farm. And that's our home. We have a 5-acre farm up there and we teach people how to grow food. We have a gardening director, Stephanie Leon, and we have a whole crew of volunteers. So it's really cool. We have children, we have families, we have older adults, and they all have one thing in common. They want to grow food, they want to help others, and they want to share it with their families.
Yeah.
And that's really our mission, is to empower people to have the ability to grow your own food for health and wellness and self-sustainability in case, you know, something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you want to connect, so my grandkids, we love hanging out in the garden. So we love picking stuff.
Yeah.
every time they come over, hey, pop up, let's go pick stuff. Okay, let's do this. I got to make sure something's always ready to harvest.
That's cool.
Potatoes in the winter, radishes, beets, something. Something yes. Always got to be there. And then I bury arrowheads. I get them from Amazon. I just bury them throughout the yard. So they're always out there. We go, I'm trying to make archaeologists out of them.
Like a treasure hunt. It's a treasure hunt.
And they can spend hours out there. It's amazing. So there's a connection, multi-generational.
Well, you know, we work with a lot of schools. Just a few weeks ago, we had Trinity Christian School out on 2 days. We had 20 kids from the eighth grade class on Thursday and 20 kids from the eighth grade class on Friday. So we had two different groups. They gave us 40 hours. We got 120 hours of volunteer work. But the most important part is they learned about gardening and clearing the beds and getting it ready for the season. And so it was a win-win. We're very blessed to have them, but they also enjoyed it immensely. And what's happening is a lot of these kids are becoming volunteers and bringing their families in. So it's a growing phenomenon.
You know, it's interesting that a lot of folks, I mean, we are off the farm. So as a kid, I went to the family farm every summer, and I didn't really work that much. We just went down to visit family. It was a big, many, many acres and silos of feed, and thousands of chickens and hogs everywhere, and you rode horses, and you're out with your BB gun for all day. You're expected to be home by dark. That's how I was raised. My kids, sports were the big thing,
right.
Maybe band, some drama possibly, some production stuff, but they really don't have that farm experience. And now the next generation is even more removed. Food does not come from Costco. It comes from the farm.
Exactly.
Comes out. So they have kids actually work in their hands in the soils and play with that. I think it's a game changer.
Well, I really think that it's coming full circle. People are realizing, especially since COVID, when you went to the store and there was nothing there, wait a minute, maybe this is a life skill that we should know and teach our kids.
Yeah.
And kids are really getting into it. You know, they say that gardening is the only hobby that goes from young kid to centenarians. It's the famous, it's a favorite hobby of a centenarians.
Yeah.
And so when you take a grandpa, like you said, and a grandkid, they bond over the gardening. And there's nothing so delicious as a tomato you pick from your own garden. It doesn't even taste like the same food as you get from the store.
I think the oldest customer we have here at Waters Gardens up here in Prescott, Arizona, she's 101 years old.
God bless her.
She's still coming in, a full-on gardener. So you have to listen really carefully because voice is getting a little slower, lighter. She has her assistant helping her, but her heart and soul is in the gardens. I think it keeps her young.
So. It keeps her alive.
Yeah,
it gives her purpose.
So tell us about this golf tournament. How'd you come up with? And that just kind of, this is a big deal. You are sold out. It's amazing.
So we are having our first annual Rock the Garden Open. And you know, I always like to have catchy themes. Well, we're really living it. We have three live bands playing as we play golf.
Nice.
We've got the Cheektone Trios on hole number 7. We've got, what's their names? Totally Reckless, a big rock band that's based downtown, and the amazing Tortellini Brothers on 13 and 14. So there'll be live music as we play. And you know, golf is sometimes a very esoteric type of activity. Not, this is going to be like, the Waste Management Live Tour, and we're going to have music throughout. We've got games, and one of the games we have is Putting for Plants, sponsored by our good friend Ken Lane. And so we're on the putting green. We are setting up about a dozen different tomato plants, and you're going to have to putt around those. If you get in the hole, you get a raffle ticket, and you could win a golf club. You can win clothing, a bunch of things. And so we're just making it fun because, you know, any good pursuit that has sustainability and longevity needs to be fun.
Yeah.
And so it can't be a chore. And that's what we try to do every week at our garden up at Bee Organic Farm, which, by the way, back in the day, Waters Garden Center had an orchard up there.
We used to grow out there.
Which is so cool. Yeah. And so we have these classes. And what happens is the volunteers get to take and pick whatever they want. So they get to share in the bounty. And that seems to be a very, very popular thing because I live in Prescott Lakes and this tournament is at the club at Prescott Lakes, but you really can't grow food there because of the fact that you have the javelinas and the HOA won't allow you to do different things. So I do container gardening, but to do real gardening and farming, we have to be on a farm.
Sure. The community garden.
Yes, exactly.
Community gardens.
Yes, exactly.
Not enough of them.
Exactly.
So, and you can, we can do this together. We bond together. So. That's great stuff. So Prescott Lakes, this the tournament is April 30th.
April 30th.
And you sold out, I heard.
We're more than sold out.
Oh, really?
We were going to sell out. Crazy. We sold out at 108. We're up to 124 golfers. Wow. And the club at Prescott Lake has been very gracious. We're having a big awards banquet right afterwards. We're giving out prizes.
There's clubhouse.
At the clubhouse. And we're doing a special lunch. And we're honoring a local legend. John Gunby is a PGA Hall of Fame golfer. He's retiring. And he does things with the Special Olympics and the vets. And we're honoring him with the Arlene's Angel Award, which is named after my late mom, who was a gardener.
Cool.
And so, it's just all good feelings. And the fact is, most of the volunteers are in our gardening club. And you know, we have the Prescott Lakes Gardening Club.
Spoken to that group several times.
Yes.
Great energetic club.
Yeah.
So if people want to donate, get involved, want to see more. You can't play golf this year, but you want to get on the list for next year or something. You just want to get involved in this community garden stuff. Where should they go?
Well, there's really one central hub, and that's www.prescottfoodforest.com.
Right.
Our Facebook page, as you've mentioned before, is full of information, and we tie that into the website. We have a donation link there, and a lot of people have donated. And just to let you know, we're the Make 100 Healthy Foundation is an Arizona nonprofit. A 501c3 nonprofit. All the money goes towards supplies, education, scholarships, which is key. It's a $99 class, but we have 23 students that are getting it for free, but they're giving us 10 hours in return. So we have another 230 hours of volunteer time.
John Murphy, Rock the Garden Golf tournament.
Yes.
And they're raising money for Prescott Food Forest. And
at the organic farm.
It's going. So, John, I appreciate you being in here. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
In our community.
We appreciate your support.
Okay. Ken Lane, the Mountain Gardener. We will be right back.
You're listening to local garden expert Ken Lane, the owner of Waters Garden Center. He can be found throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located in Prescott, 1815 Iron Springs Road. Thanks for tuning in to the Mountain Gardener. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, poppy, columbine, and our purple twist plum.
This Arizona plum is the ideal purple tree between evergreens.
Blooms in a profusion of pink flowers that precede the deep purple foliage.
Large enough to use as a front yard tree and behaved enough to use as a street tree.
Plant pairs flanking gateways, driveways, or an orchard-like rows to screen neighbors.
Purple Twist Plum can only be found at Waters Garden Center in Prescott.
I'm out of home now, and I love my new little apartment, but there's something I miss, watching my mom garden in our backyard. She gave those flowers and plants such a personal, loving touch that I miss. Well, I just visited my local garden center, and they gave me some great ideas. Now, when I look out my patio window, I see the beautiful planter they suggested teeming with bright Arizona flowers. It's like being with mom in her garden.
Want help with planting? It's all online at plant-something.org. Brought to you by the Arizona Nursery Association at plant-something.org.
You'll love it.
Natural wonders like the Grand Canyon are breathtakingly beautiful. Another natural wonder, worm castings. Whether you're planting a new garden or fertilizing flowers, lawn or fruit trees, Natural Wonders Worm Castings will make it grow. Right now, Natural Wonders Worm Castings are on sale at Waters Garden Center. Buy four and get the fifth free. So stop by at Waters Garden Center at 1815 Iron Springs Road today for your Natural Wonders Worm Castings.
We believe searching Waters plants is better than a Google search at Waters Garden Center.
You've tuned in to the Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane. Join him each week as he answers timely garden questions that are sure to make a difference in your gardens. Now welcome your host, Ken Lane.
So I had shared with you at the start of the show some kind of insider tips on when to shop garden centers. So our flower trucks, they're making these huge routes from the greenhouse, and they're just dropping things off. And so in Prescott, Arizona, here at Waters Garden Center, Wednesday afternoon, we get huge flower trucks. I mean, just annuals, perennials, herbs, vegetables. If it's small in a gallon size or smaller, they're coming on that truck. And there'll be dozens of racks. So if you don't want to wait till the weekend, show up kind of Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning. We get it all put away and it's organized. So we're kind of a restock. The way it works is everyone has Saturday off. And so we have twice the volume on Saturday that we do any other day of the week. So we're gearing up for that Saturday kind of wave of customers showing up at the garden center. And so in a retirement town, at least Prescott, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Friday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every day but Saturday, kind of the same, kind of this even keeled, easy to deal with. And then Saturday comes, we have to gear up, make sure we get enough people, enough plants to make it through. So we're gearing up. So Wednesday, you get flowers. The trees and shrubs come on Thursday and Friday afternoon. So those trucks are coming from a different direction, from different farms, and they'll be geared up, and you'll see like Friday afternoon, there's on the back dock. You go, where's the back dock at? It's back by the greenhouse over the left, and you'll just see all the new plants. It's kind of fun to pick through. It's kind of like, it's unorganized. So if you give us a day, we've got it actually organized and merchandised and signed, but it takes a day to do that. But they come off the truck pre-priced, pre-tagged, pre-done stuff because we're moving such volume. So you can shop it right then. You're welcome to peruse. Just be careful not to be run over by a forklift or something. So that's kind of an insider tip. So late in the week, Wednesdays are flowers. Thursdays and Fridays are shrubs and trees like roses and more aspens and more maples and flowering things. And then lots more lilacs and, you know, your evergreen manzanitas, those kind of things come off. So crepe myrtles, people have been asking for those. I'm trying to get them, but they're just still, they don't have leaves on them yet. So we're waiting till they aren't just twigs in a bucket. So that's kind of an insider scoop. And then if you really want, if you're doing homework, if you're new to the area, we upload us, it's almost before they come off the truck. When that truck shows up, we'll clear that invoice and it uploads to our website. And the shortcut to the website is top10plants.com. Top the number 10plants.com. It takes you right to our shopping and the slower turning things. So shrubs and trees, roses, they're all listed. Things that move really fast, like we got them in and they sold out that afternoon. We try not to upload on the website, because when it's on the website, you're competing with people physically in the store too. There's this tension. There's this balancing act we're always trying, but you know, a shortcut to that. WatersGardenCenter.com. The shop button is at the top. Just hit the shop button. It takes you right there. So that is a great research tool. So you can see how they grow. We don't just regurgitate what's on Google or what's showing up on the tag. We're actually telling you this is how a maple tree grows here in our climate and how much wind it will take, how much water you can expect to take it. We make it very personal for this area of central Arizona and how they're going to grow. How tall is that pine tree going to get? How big is a smoke bush going to get? What's a native plant that can grow here? We're trying to be very, very specific on that. You can buy it right then and we'll go pull it, or you know it's here. So we have more people going, hey, I see you have, and you actually know it's here sometimes before customers do, because it's still sitting on the back dock waiting to come in and be merchandised, but you saw it online. So there's some advantage to that. Anyway, some insider tips for you this spring. Ken and Lisa Lane, we camp out here at Waters Garden Center. We love talking to fans of the show.
You've been listening to The Mountain Gardener with local garden expert Ken Lane, owner of Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Join him each week at the same time as he answers timely garden questions unique to the area. You can find him throughout the week at Waters Garden Center, located at 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott. Thank you for tuning in to this week's Mountain Gardener on the talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Waters Garden Companion Plants of the Month are lilac, poppy, purple plum, and our white night candy tuft.
Masses of fragrant white flowers cover mounds of perennial green foliage.
Extreme heat and cold tolerant, this award winner repeatedly blooms without deadheading for super easy care.
Butterflies, bees, hummingbirds are going to love your backyard again.
White Knight Candy Tuff can only be found at Waters Garden Center, 1815 Iron Springs Road in Prescott.
Airtime for the Mountain Gardener was paid for by Waters Garden Center, and they were solely responsible for its content.